This is Monday, May 11th, 2015, regular city council meeting, 7:00 PM.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the May 11th regular Othello City Council meeting. And with a reminder that 2 weeks from tonight is Memorial Day, and so our next regularly scheduled council meeting will be on Tuesday night, the 26th, at 7:00 PM. With that, I've called this meeting to order. Would you please rise for a short prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance? Father in heaven, we thank you for the right and the freedom to assemble, to conduct business of a community, and we just pray that you would lead, guide, and direct each and every one of our steps tonight. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Maybe seated. Item 1.3 on our agenda is roll call, and I see that all of the city council is present. So I'll move to item 1.4, citizen input. Is there any citizen here tonight who would like to address the city council? Please raise your hand. I'll recognize you, and you can step to the microphone, have up to 5 minutes to speak. And you have that opportunity tonight to address the Othello City Council. Is there anyone here tonight? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 2, the approval of tonight's agenda. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 3 is the consent agenda. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to approve our consent agenda tonight. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Let's move down to current business. Item 4.1, the MAC 911 interlocal agreement, and Police Chief Phil Shank has a report.
Mayor and Council, thank you. What this is an interlocal agreement that basically establishes a relationship between us and the MAC 911 center up in Moses Lake. If you think back when we did the budget, we asked for some Spillman upgrades, one of them being the Insight interface. Insight is basically an information broker that allows us to share information with all of these Spillman systems. This is the interlocal agreement that governs that and says what we do with that information, who we can share it with, who we cannot share it with. We are the last agency to get on it, and the information will still be held at the Adams County Spillman system, but it'll actually look like we're connecting to, I'm going to guess there's probably 50, 60 agencies on that now. So, any questions?
Council? Okay, very good, thank you. With that, I would entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the interlocal agreement.
I make that motion.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 4.2, the council is to consider 2 park use requests tonight, and Molly Kistler has a report on the American Fiesta Amistad Festival and the Dia de la Raza event.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Today, staff has received 2 requests for use of the park. The first request is for the 2015 American Fiesta Amistad Festival. As in years past, the American Fiesta Amistad Festival includes a number of entertainment acts, children's games, activities, food and merchandise vendors. The American Fiesta Amistad Planning Committee has requested to hold the event on Friday, August 7th from 5 to 10 and Saturday, August 8th from 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. Setup will begin Thursday before the event, and Public Works employees will be on hand to help with the setup for the event, on Friday, they'll be on hand to set up. And on Saturday, Public Works staff will also be in the park to help with the event as well. This event would incur a $400 use fee for use of the park, given the expected attendance of over 500 people for the event. And we have an additional request for the use of the park, which is the Dia de la Raza event. We received a request from Humberto Salinas of Bustos Media in Yakima, and they would like to hold this event, which is fairly similar to last year's Dia de la Familia, that the, we had a radio station out of the Pasco host in the park last year. That event welcomed over about 2,000 people, and so, and this event is expected to bring in the same amount of people. The request is scheduled for Sunday, July 6th, from 12 p.m. to 7 p.m., and it includes food, music, dancers, mariachi music, children's games, arts and crafts, and more. So their setup for that event would occur from 7 to 12 that day of the event, and cleanup would occur immediately after, so it would be solely a one-day event. Because we've never had this event in the park, we've not scheduled to have park, we have not scheduled to have our Public Works employees at the event, but that's certainly something, should we, in continuing conversations with the representatives from Bustos Media, we'll work with them to see if that's something that will be necessary. So we do have Sean Bates here on behalf of the Fiesta, or American Fiesta Amistad Festival. The council has any questions. Unfortunately, we representatives from Bustos Media were not able to be here, but I can certainly bring any questions that the council may have to them and come back with any answers at a later date. So with that, I request that the council approve the resolutions for use of the Lions Park for both the American Fiesta Amistad Festival and the Dia de la Raza event.
Council? Sean, you have a question? Did you want to say something?
Mm-hmm. Mayor and council, I am Sean Bates. I don't know, do I need to say my address for this?
No.
Okay. On behalf of the American Fiesta Amistad Committee, we want to, first off, want to thank the city staff. We met last week, covered some issues and questions that we had from last year, felt it was a very fruitful exchange. Overall, the meeting was a pleasure, and it was a good thing. We want to cover a couple of items, and we discussed these things with council last year. Fiesta has never missed submitting paperwork on time to the city for this event. This event goes back to 1998. It is a friendship festival joining the Hispanic and the Anglo communities together, and it's enjoyed a lot of success over the years. This year, as well as last year, Columbia Basin Health Association is going to be partnering with us, holding their community health fair during the Fiesta event, and they're coming alongside us to help out quite a bit. Also this year we'll be having Walmart stand beside us as well. They've offered 50 man hours of their employees to be able to help us with logistics of moving materials and moving staging on and off of park property, and so we're looking forward to that. One concern left over from last year, and I'm not sure exactly the best time to mention this, but I will bring it to mind now. Last year, because of a death in the family 2 years ago, we did not have a fiesta. And then last year, we wound up having the festival, and it was kind of caught short. It was kind of a surprise. We ended up having half of the normal allotment for advertising dollars to be able to promote the event. And I want to bring that forward to council's consideration. Historically, advertising levels have been above 4,000. Last year, council was able to find additional funding for the Fiesta and bring it back up closer to the middle there towards 3,000. I want to remind council that the advertising dollars really do help make a difference, and it is something that is a reimbursement. So it's something that we look forward to in our budgeting process. By the end of the festival, we're zeroed out. There's no money left in the bank, and we do that every year. It's a small size event. So if you have any questions, we'd be glad to answer them, and in the interest of time, please get a hold of Emiliano. He sends his apologies. He's feeling under the weather tonight, and he asked if I would show up. So I want to thank you all for your time. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Council? Any further questions? Molly? Okay. Then at this time, I'd entertain a motion to authorize these resolutions to approve use of city property for the American Fiesta Amistad and the Dia de la Raza event.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you,
Molly. Moving on to item 4.3, contract change with Aspect Consulting. Wade has a report.
You guys recall last year we got into the contract with Aspect to help us with some of our water issues, and they helped guide us and sort of validate and talk about some of the shortfalls in the Guama report, and that's pretty much what we paid them for, as well as the on-call advice as we work with some of these wells. Well, that we've used every bit of that contract now. As we move forward, they're going to come under the umbrella of Varela for the most part. There will be issues and on-call stuff that we need to just pick up the phone and call Varela for. For instance, well 9, they helped us get that approved through DOE. I mean, that was really good. And they spent a little time and effort doing that, which is good. So as we move forward with our wells, and like well 6, getting that up to speed, if we run into issues, we'd like to keep them on call. And that's when we need an authorization of $5,000. I don't know if we'll spend that or not as they fall under that Varela contract. But we'd like an authorization to be able to use them on-call services for hydrological advice and help as we need it. Questions?
No, I'm good. Your counsel? No, we need their services.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Wade. With that, I entertain a motion to this amendment to our contract with Aspect Engineering. I'd make the motion. Consulting?
Second.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.4, code compliance. Kelly, you have some information for the council. We had discussed this at the last regular city council meeting.
Correct. Yeah. Good evening. I want to give the council an update on where we're at on the code enforcement amendments. I have drafted several amendments to the code to incorporate in the code that we discussed and the framework we discussed 2 weeks ago. And I have that complete. What I want to do is circulate that with the staff, city staff that are going to be enforcing the code and working with it. Because what will be beneficial, this is a big change. And so I think it's really beneficial to have the feedback from the staff members who are going to be enforcing the code so that they can, if they see issues in it, maybe there's things we can correct ahead of time to implement it. And I think it will help streamline the city's efforts to resolve these code issues. Another piece that I'm working on that's taking a little bit of extra time, because I want to make sure it's done correctly and in the best way possible, is the city, at the council meeting, the council expressed the desire that they didn't want to put people out of their homes if they have a non-conforming use that violates the zoning code. So the issue is, if they are a non-conforming use, how do we enforce the code to bring them up to code in a zone where they're technically not allowed? right? And there's different ways to go about doing that. One way is to allow, just rely on the selective enforcement decisions of city staff. That is, in my opinion, the least desirable way to go, because while we do have very good staff, it sometimes, when you have different staff members, and then just historically over time, their criteria used to make those decisions may fluctuate over time, and you're going to have the perception of some people that, well, hey, that wasn't fair. You know, they let me do it. My situation is similar, or maybe even justifies me, an exception for me more than the other person. And you get a lot of discontent. So what I would like to do is make a change to the code and figure out a good change in the zoning code that would establish specific criteria that would allow that. And just the wording of that, we need to get that right. And so that's going to take me an extra little time. More than happy to give staff, or not staff, but after I give staff the code, get their comments back, make changes to reflect that, and then come back and report to the city at the next council meeting is my suggestion, to make sure that we take a little bit of extra time to make sure we get the best work product we can, and I really think that'll help the city with its code enforcement efforts going forward once we get that in place. Happy to answer any questions anybody has.
There's one issue. On a lot of these places, sometimes there's a quick turnaround on the tenants that are in them. They turn them really quick, or because there's a lot of migrant help in the area, they'll rent the places 6-7 months and then go on. Is there any way to work it with the people that own these when they do become vacant, that we do request or require them to bring them up to code at that time before they can rent them out again? That way we don't have to worry about displacing anybody?
Yeah, that is definitely one way to do that. And you could, the flexibility in the code that we talked about, the proposed code with the voluntary compliance agreements would allow you to use the voluntary compliance agreements that way. And we can also look at different ways of maybe putting some provisions in the code that would provide for that. I think the trick is going to be is because under the system, you'd identify the non-compliant property, you'd send them a notice of violation, and work with them to have a voluntary compliance order in place. And I think it's just going to, does the city want to wait until that is vacant to get the fixes and bring it up to code? I think that would be something, a matter of discretion for the court or the staff under the voluntary compliance agreement and the way they use those. That could certainly be part of it. And I think that decision also would depend probably on how egregious and how dangerous the situation is for the current tenants. I mean, certainly if you have a dangerous condition, the city may not want to wait until it's vacant. So I think that'd probably be a case-by-case analysis on how the city uses those voluntary compliance agreements.
The plan would be once he gets that ready for staff to look at, when staff looks at it, then I get the compliance committee together as well. Look at it, look at comments, make comments like that, or whatever else we might have thought about in the meantime, and then go back to Kelly and make whatever changes necessary, and then bring it to full council. So, I know we'd like to do this expeditiously, but we don't want to do it so fast we make mistakes and forget stuff. So that's sort of the plan. And the other piece, as I've talked about before, is then how do we end up executing this? Do we have enough staff to do that? Probably not. Maybe we need to bring on, like I talked about before, a contract personnel to get us up to speed, and then we can go with what we have.
And we are moving forward. I mean, I will have the code and the revisions I've made in staff's hands tomorrow morning. So,
Council.
Okay.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Item 5 on our agenda is unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council tonight?
I just got a question for probably Terry. What's our status on the whales?
Well, they still parts will be in, and they'll start to assemble that on the 18th of the month. Everything else is running.
How's the level on the tanks?
Right at about 890.
Is that below normal or?
No, that's about normal.
About normal?
Below normal.
Well, nine, how are we on that one?
They're working on getting a liner for it, to insert that liner, they're also working on electronics plus the well house assembly, the asphalt for the house itself.
Is that going to be like the one in Kiwanis Park, similar to that?
No, it's going to be exact duplicate of Welly.
Oh, okay.
Asphalt to Welly.
Okay.
So we're replicating, it seems to work the best, has the most room to be able to get that motor out of there, that well out of the ground, that's the inside.
Okay, thanks.
As far as the ordinance goes for water usage for the city of Othello, I think that we need to visit the ordinance that when we get into a situation where we get our tank levels dropped below a firefighting level, that we should have some sort of consideration for shutting off certain services or working with commercial and industrial users to minimize their withdrawal so that we can maintain a level within the tanks. I know that it's been critical the last couple of weeks. And we're not, you know, just because this is a situation where we have one well offline that's our largest producer, this could happen again. You know, something could happen, catastrophic failure of a well, well number six again, or whatever, that could put us in this situation. We need something to work with. We need to open communications with industry and commercial users.
Yep. Point well taken. And after what happened last week with the drop-in and having to work with a couple of the producers out there, we discovered we need something more stronger. John, so we're already giving Kelly a heads up. We're going to work that, get something in place, and work with Terry and the current code, and get something to bring before you guys soon. Good.
So we currently have contracts with those, but we still have the obligation to supply, and we don't have anything codified or something isn't clear as far as in our code.
As far as I know, there's no contract with McCain Foods on that industry. It's an as-needed basis, and there's an ordinance that's wrote specifically.
We're operating through ordinance then.
With McCain, you are.
Yeah.
I don't know the situation with Simplot. If there was a contract with them, if you guys can't find it, then I don't know if it exists.
Yeah. Terry, correct me if I'm wrong. We researched and can't find a contract per se. I don't know if you want to address that.
Debbie and I looked for that, and it's in the obsolete file because they've been swung over, correct me if I'm wrong, Debbie, to an industrial rate where everybody's on the same rate. So there is nothing currently that we could find in that process.
John's point's well taken.
Yeah. I think enough time's gone by that there's situations that are occurring with the water situation that need to be addressed moving forward. The rumor was that we got down to 71 feet. That's critical.
60,
if there had been a,
62.5.
Okay. And that's not common knowledge, but if a situation broke out where a fire was happening in one of the lower pressure areas, you wouldn't have enough water to fight it. That's something you can't allow. So if it's a 1 or 2 day shutdown for, you know, that could be coordinated, that would allow us to fill back up, you know, in a worst case scenario, and this has got to be one of the worst case scenarios, to where we could work with them and they could work with us.
I agree.
I'm sure there's other ordinances out there in other cities that have an emergency type situation. Perhaps we could find out what those are.
Yeah, and I don't know. I was aware of this tonight when I got here just before council. So that's what I will do with the research, is look at what other cities have done, and you know, it's always good to use the tried and true method rather than trying to recreate the wheel, and we'll, certainly that's what we'll be doing.
Sounds good. Any other unfinished business? Any new business? Okay, hearing none. We will adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:25 p.m.